Mùi đầy mùi à mùi lên mù.
Mùi là đà mùi à cô à đà mù.
À cô à đà hì rì à mù.
Mùi là đà mùi à hì nè kè mù.
À hì bù gà hì xì mù.
Music from Papua New Guinea. Noel, where are we off to?
Well, we're sort of off to Papua New Guinea in that the person we're going to talk to tonight is sitting in Madang on the north of the island, Tristan Clements. And Tristan has been sent by World Vision in a new position. You may remember a few years ago, maybe two years ago, we spoke to him. He was working in Africa.
Busy people, these World Vision people.
Well, he's moved right across. He came back for a placement in Australia, you know, a bit of home turf time, R&R. And then he's been sent back out into the field, but this time not to Africa, where he's done a lot of his work, but he's gone into the Pacific, New Guinea, Solomons, Vanuatu, specifically as an emergency relief coordinator.
So what are we talking to him about this evening?
Well, it's a new position. World Vision has decided it needs to create a person whose sole responsibility is to manage humanitarian and emergency affairs for the Pacific region, after all the stuff we've had going on. And I thought a good place to start, Tristan, is to ask you, Manager of Humanitarian Emergency Affairs, what does that actually mean?
What does that mean? As Manager for Humanitarian and Emergency Affairs in the Pacific, I am effectively responsible for anything to do with emergency and disaster response work in World Vision's areas of operation in this part of the world, which is specifically Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu and Solomon Islands.
So you're based in Madang. I think the old name is Friedrich Wilhelmshafen from the German days. Why Madang?
That's right. World Vision works in two parts of Papua New Guinea. It works in and around the Port Moresby area, and it also works in and around the Madang area, and particularly along the north coast here. Port Moresby is quite isolated geographically from the rest of the country. Papua New Guinea is a very physically hostile place with enormous steep mountain ranges and very, very few roads that actually cut across. Madang is actually fairly well connected by road to the rest of the country. So geographically, it's a place to sit within Papua New Guinea. It's not a bad place.
In the area, there have been tsunami, there have been earthquake. I presume this is the nature of the thing you've been sent there to prepare for.
That's right. We look at both sides of emergencies in World Vision. We look at emergencies that are triggered by natural events, such as tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes and cyclones. We also look at man-made emergencies, particularly issues of conflict and the displacement that follows that. But certainly in Papua New Guinea and other parts of the Pacific, most of the emergencies we deal with and most of the thinking is based around some of the natural disasters.
Your father was an aid worker as well.
He spent 17 years working for the World Health Organization based out of Geneva. So he traveled all around the world. He was usually gone a couple of months every year to various far-flung corners of the world. Before that, he and my mom were in Afghanistan and Bangladesh with Save the Children. So it's very much a family business, I guess you'd say.
What sort of life experience do you need to bring to a job of humanitarian emergency affairs? I imagine it takes a certain type of personality.
Yes, I think it does. It's not a job for everybody. In terms of life experience, I think it helps having an international worldview. It helps knowing a little bit about different parts of the planet, especially some of the poorer and more hostile parts of the world are usually the sorts of places that we've ended up passing through, and just knowing a little bit about how to communicate and interact across different cultural boundaries is always a huge issue, a huge thing that we try and overcome, especially as Westerners moving into these places. And I think in terms of character traits, some of the things we really need is good flexibility. It would be number one. I think you get all sorts of things thrown at you in this sort of a job, and nothing comes in any particular helpful order. So you need to really be able to sort through all of the rubbish that comes through. And I think you need a good sense of humour just to be able to keep a bit of perspective on what you're doing.
I think the last time I spoke to you, you were working in Africa. What's brought you now back to the Pacific?
That's a good question. I've been asking myself that quite a bit over the last couple of months because I'm only fairly recently arrived here. And it's a big shift for me in some ways because I have spent much more of my career focused on Africa, and I love it very much out there. Part of it was just the nature of the job itself. It was a great opportunity that came up it's a brand new role, and I have the chance to create, in a way, a lot of new activities, a lot of new initiatives here in the Pacific area. We've never had an emergency relief person out here before. I spent the last 12 months in Melbourne, and I've made a really good little group of friends out there that was really sad to leave behind this time. I'm very lucky. I've actually got a friend of mine, another aid worker who works for World Vision, who I've known from earlier, and we're actually really good mates, and we're living together in Medang. We're both working for World Vision out here, but I think we're quite good for each other's mental health. But you, it's a mixture of good and bad, and what you choose to sacrifice for what you choose to get as a payoff. You get some amazing experiences in places like this, and the cost is leaving a lot of valuable things behind. And I think every aid worker at the end of the day makes a decision at some stage or another as to which decisions they make, whether it's still worth it for them to keep going out to the field. So I'm doing a lot of groundwork, I suppose. I'm setting up a new emergency response team. I'm helping put in place some of the preparedness procedures and response plans that we're going to need. And it's quite an interesting role for me.
What sort of adjustments do you go through, you know, as an aid worker when you land in a place like Madang or you go to the Solomons? What personal adjustments have you been making?
I think the personal adjustments that you have to make to a lifestyle change, to a cultural shift like this, they come on a couple of different levels. But there's obviously the physical level where all of a sudden you have to figure out how you're actually going to run a day-to-day routine of just surviving. Where do I sleep? What do I eat? Where do I get food from? What's available themselves or in the market? How am I going to cook that sort of stuff, which is it's going to change everywhere you go, just because different things are available. You know, that's the easy bit. I think the hard bit comes in terms of how you relate to people and learning about what is a culturally appropriate way to behave. How do you greet people? How do you expect them to work? Do you work, as we do in the West, a very much task focused way of operating, or is it in fact the primary way of getting things done through relationships and not necessarily expecting that when you tell someone to do something, they will actually do it? I think it's understanding some of the cultural pitfalls. Tribalism in Africa is a big problem. Here in PNG, you may have heard of the Wantok system, the tribal loyalties that basically supersede any other sort of social relationship.
We sure have. Not so long ago on the program, we've had Lady Carol Kidu and also Brian Barnes, the Bishop of Aitape, who's talked to us about some of those things that they need to deal with culturally, and the Wantok seems to be quite an issue within Papua New Guinea itself.
It's one of those mixed blessings. I think it can be a big challenge to try and work around the Wantok system, especially when you're unfamiliar with it. I have it on authority that when you learn how to work with it, it can be a very powerful tool for getting things done, but I'm certainly not at that stage yet.
In terms of your plans for the job, where would you like to see things moving for World Vision in terms of its preparation, say, in 3 years' time?
Yeah, again, that's a really excellent question, and one I've been wrestling with a lot over the last few weeks, especially as I sort of set up all my plans for the next couple of years here. I think there'd be a couple of different levels to that. I think one thing I would really like to see would be a team of capable relief professionals able to respond as and when they're called, when there's an emergency happening, who can just sort of hop on a plane and get a response started. I think as well, and this is something that's probably going to unfold over the next 12 to 18 months, is working with some of the communities in which we have relationships and building their ability also to manage the risks that they face, to be able to minimize the damage that they would experience when an emergency does happen, and also enable them and empower them to be able to be the first responders following an event. So, for example, teaching communities the warning signs that a tsunami is inbound so that they can get themselves away from the coast before they get washed away, that sort of stuff.
It strikes me that when just checking through news of the last few years, when you look at major earthquakes in the Solomons, tsunami on the north coast of Papua New Guinea, earthquakes and resulting tidal waves in the area north of Indonesia and around that whole Pacific area, that it stands to perfect reason that an emergency response team would be needed. Are these the events, these recent events, the things that have triggered the reason for your position there?
It's not so much the recent events. I think for quite a long time we've known that we needed this sort of a capacity here in the Pacific. I think with any charity, any profit organization, we're partly dependent on resources and funding that become available to us. And it just so happens that those resources have lined up in a way that we can afford to have somebody like myself doing the work that I've been asked to do out here. Absolutely. This whole part of the world is one of the most disaster-prone areas in the world. We definitely feel it's a priority to have this sort of capability, this sort of work going on.
Tristan Clements, Manager of Humanitarian and Emergency Affairs for World Vision in the Pacific. Thanks for talking with Sunday Nights.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it, mate.
I am a tourist lahina. Yeah, ha, ha, yeah, ha, ha.